It's the Congressional Corner. No, not this time with Alan Chartok. I'm David Gustino, honored to fill in for Alan. But today I am joined by Connecticut Congressman Christopher Murphy. He's from that state's 5th District, and he's back in the Congressional Corner with us today. Welcome back, Congressman Murphy.
Great to be here.
Great to have you here. Let's start with your American Jobs Matter Act. You've had a victory. It's passed the House.
It's a pretty simple idea. A few years ago, the biggest military contract in the history of the country was awarded to a European firm. It was a contract for big refueling tanker planes for the Air Force. And there was an American bid that had a substantial component of Connecticut content that lost. And so we brought the Air Force in to explain to us what happened. And they said, well, the bids were substantially equivalent. We just kind of flipped a coin, not they're my words, not theirs, and awarded it to the European firm. I said, well, what about the fact that the American bid has thousands of more jobs here in this country than the European bid? And they said, well, we're not allowed to use that as a factor when we consider where to award taxpayer dollars. I thought that was ridiculous. Of course, a component of deciding where to send work when it comes to military sourcing should be, are we going to create jobs in the United States, or are we going to create jobs in Italy or China or Mexico? And so I put a bill in called the American Jobs Matter Act, which just simply says that when you're awarding federal contracts, one of the factors that you should look at is which bid is going to create more jobs in the United States. I had a lot of trouble getting that bill passed. The first year, I got it through the committee, but I couldn't even get a vote on the House floor. The second year, I got a vote on the House floor, but I lost by about 4 votes. I only got about 35 Republicans to support it. Well, this year, I got it passed unanimously in the House of Representatives. I worked it hard for about 3 or 4 years, and it's now on its way to the Senate. But it could produce jobs here in Connecticut and a lot more across the country.
And let me ask you this. You said it was unanimous this last time, but you had some opposition. What were their arguments against it?
Well, the arguments against it were pretty simple. There's been a fallacy in the federal government for a long time that when you buy something that's 5% cheaper from a company in China versus a company in the United States, that you're saving money for the taxpayer. And it's taken me a long time to make people understand that that's just not true. That when you buy something that's 5% cheaper, a widget for a big jet engine for a fighter plane in China, that yes, you save 5% on that line item. But when the job doesn't go to the U.S. firm and they lay off workers, automatically, the U.S. Treasury has to start paying out unemployment benefits. Their family likely goes on Medicaid. You lose the tax revenue associated with that job and with that family's income. And that 5% that you saved gets canceled out by all of the decreased revenue into the federal government and increased expenditure that comes when you outsource work. It's taken me a while to convince people of that, but once you make the case, it's pretty unassailable. And so I think that might be part of the reason why, I went from losing about 200 votes on the House floor last year to not losing a single vote this year. We really did a good job at education.
What's your sense of how it will do in the Senate?
Well, Dick Blumenthal, who's Connecticut's new senator, has introduced it on the Senate side. He's trying to move it through their process. We attached it as an amendment to the defense spending bill. And so we know that bill has to be passed. So the good news is all we have to do is make sure that our bill stays as attached to the overall defense spending bill. I'm optimistic.
Let's stick with the economy a second. You mentioned Senator Richard Blumenthal, and fairly recently you and the senator launched your second annual survey of Connecticut manufacturers. Have you found anything out yet? Are the results in? And how beneficial has this been since the first time you did it?
Well, the results aren't in yet. We'll get them in at the end of the summer. But we, got some pretty surprisingly optimistic results back from last year's survey. Our survey showed that about half the manufacturers that returned surveys in the state, and we got a pretty good representative sample back, said that they were planning on increasing jobs in the coming year. But there were a lot of concerns as well. People were very concerned about the high cost of health care and the high cost of taxes in Connecticut relevant to manufacturers, and a lot of people were seeing increased competition from China that they were worried about. Fair trade and trade enforcement was a big deal for a lot of manufacturers. And, of course, Buy America was a concern as well. So, you know, we heard good news from our manufacturers, and I'm hoping that we'll hear good news again. But, you know, we can help manufacturers. That Buy America agenda and that American Jobs Matter Act, that's one of the most important things we can do to help manufacturers make sure that they're getting their fair share of contracts from the U.S. taxpayer.
What's the percentage of manufacturing in Connecticut? How do you fare compared to other states in terms of your manufacturing jobs? Do you know?
We actually have a slightly a bigger portion of our economy dedicated to manufacturing than other states do. If my memory serves me, we're at about 11 or 12% of our economy tied to manufacturing, while most of the country is down around 9 or 10%. There's not an enormous part of our economy, but the spillover from manufacturing jobs is pretty substantial.
And that's what I was going to follow up with you, because we often hear about too many service jobs, let's say, around the country, and we've lost our manufacturing edge. So you would agree that manufacturing does have a slight edge over different types of employment?
Well, yeah, the estimates are that every manufacturing job creates two or three other jobs in the economy, because manufacturing jobs are, you know, heavily technology dependent, so you need engineers and service workers on the machinery. When you have one manufacturing job in the state, they tend to be buying parts from other manufacturers in the state. So there's no manufacturer that, you know, isn't buying some component of what they're selling from somebody else. So the spillover effect, is pretty immediate just in that sense. So, you know, the best investment we can make in this economy is building manufacturing jobs. It's what I've sort of staked my career on, albeit a short one, in the House of Representatives over the last 5 years, because I think that the salvation of Connecticut's economy is wrapped up in our ability to protect and restart manufacturing.
Well, you mentioned your rather short career. Now, of course, you are running for the Senate, Joe Lieberman's seat. And you have some competitors in the race. How are things shaping up for you there?
Well, you know, we are getting to crunch time. We're about 5 weeks away from the Democratic primary. I'm running against Susan Bicewicz in that primary, and then we'll await the winner on the Republican side, but it certainly looks like Linda McMahon will be the candidate over there. And, you know, my belief has been that if I'm doing a really good job representing my district, the 5th Congressional District is probably the most independent-minded district in the country, in the state, excuse me, one of the most in the country, I'd argue as well, then that's a pretty good advertisement for the job I'm asking for in the United States Senate. So I have been traveling the state. I certainly have been, you know, trying to raise the money necessarily to run, but I've also been spending the vast majority of my time, at home representing my 41 towns, because if I'm doing a good job at that, then hopefully that's a predictor to other people outside of the 5th Congressional District as to how I'll represent them.
And how much does the money matter? I mean, we see Linda McMahon and the treasure trove that she has as a result of their empire. Well, you know, how does that factor into this race?
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have gone out and made my billions before I ran for Congress. That would have made it a lot easier. It matters a lot, unfortunately. Money, drives a lot of electoral politics today, and I wish that weren't the case. I'm a big supporter of the public financing of congressional elections, but until I get that bill passed, I've got to live within the existing system. Linda McMahon's only limitation when it comes to spending money is how much can people take. She has as much money as she wants to spend. My limitation is how many, you know, friends and supporters are willing to donate $5, $10, $50. We've raised a lot of money, and the vast majority of that comes from people who are giving $250 or less. We'll have enough money to run the race, but that won't be why we win. We'll have to win because we have more true believers, more evangelists, more people and volunteers knocking on doors and making phone calls. And that's always been my strength, and it'll continue to be so in this election.
And I want to remind our listeners, too, that we obviously reach out to all the candidates in the race, and Ms. McMahon has been reached out to, and assuming she accepts, we would have her on as well. When it comes to elections, that's what we do, and you know that. But we've been talking with Congressman Christopher Murphy from Connecticut's 5th District. What a pleasure speaking with you. When we come back tomorrow, I'd love to ask you about this big Supreme Court ruling on health care.